From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Carl Castle, and here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Carl. Thank you, everybody. Great to see you. We have got a really good show for you today. We've got Anna Gasteyer, who used to make fun of NPR on Saturday Night Live. She's going to come on to find out how much worse the real thing is. In the meantime, give us a call. The number, of course, 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. It's time to welcome our first listener contestant. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Sarah Polster from Lakewood, Colorado.
Sarah Polster?
Yeah.
When you call people and you say, hi, this is a Polster, do they get upset?
They get a little freaked out. Not
I understand.
Lot, especially this time of year.
Right. And did you ever feel the urge to go be a Polster with your career?
Not even a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Your parents must have been so disappointed. We come from a long line of pollsters. Well, welcome to the show, Sarah. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First, say hello to a television personality and a correspondent for CBS Sunday Morning. Mr. Mo Rocca is here.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Next up, say hello to a writer and a comedian whose Comedy Central stand-up special is now available on iTunes. Ms. Jessie Klein is here.
Hi, Sarah. How are you?
Good.
And finally, a humorist and author of the new audiobook, It's Just Like I Told You, 25 Years of Comments and Comic Pieces. It's available at a download near you. Mr. Tom Baudette is here.
Hi, Sarah.
Sarah, you're going to start us off, of course, with Who's Carl This Time. Carl Castle right here will recreate for you three quotations from the week's news. Your job, correctly identify or explain two of them. Ready to do that?
Yeah.
All right. Here is your first quote.
It was the ultimate test of leadership, a victory for our nation.
That was Tom Hanks, as you could tell from Carl's excellent impersonation, narrating a new campaign video praising somebody who, according to this movie, passed that ultimate test of leadership. Sorry for the spoiler. Who is the star of this movie?
Barack Obama.
Yes, President Obama. Very good. He launched his ad blitz for re-election with this 16-minute internet film. It's called The Road We've Traveled. They came at that title after some other attempts. Working titles were, No, This is the Greatest Story Ever Told. And Twilight Sparkly President. It's not so much another like Morning in America ad in which everything is great. It's more of like it's sort of like a disaster movie in which everything was awful and this guy came and saved us. It's like Snakes on a Plane, right? As a campaign film, and the ending is, hey, most of the snakes that were on the plane are gone, and those that are still here are thinking about leaving. Thank you, Mr. President.
How many times has Bin Laden dead?
He dies over and over again.
Yeah, over
He's
and over
coming
again.
Back.
Shouldn't his re-election video just be that clip of him singing Al Green?
Probably. Mm-hmm. That's
over
all,
again?
It is. All it is.
Just everyone taking their pants off in America. Did I say that out loud?
You did, actually.
Oh, sorry. That was all in my head.
Have you seen it?
Actually, I have. And the interesting thing about it to political observers is that it introduces the president's re-election strategy, and the slogan is more or less, General Motors is alive and Bin Laden is dead. That was Joe Biden said that. That's right. It's time for Joe Biden to come out. Because it's election year, so they went down to the basement.
This is going to be great for ratings.
They went down to the basement, and they were like, President Obama's like, release the Biden. And he like pulls the chains all over. Ah! Now, they went to a tremendous amount of effort to make this film. They brought in Tom Hanks to narrate it. Of course, they didn't use all of it. We actually found in the Internet Archive some of the outtakes. So, for example, here is the part of the film about President Obama overturning some of President Woodrow Wilson's key initiatives.
I'm sorry, Wilson! Wilson, I'm sorry! I'm sorry!
That seemed kind of obscure. All right, for your next quote, let's hear a perspective on one candidate's firm beliefs.
It's almost like an etch-a-sketch. You can kind of shake it up and restart it all over again.
That was a man named Eric Fernstrom, who was, as of showtime, still the senior aide to what presidential candidate?
Mitt Romney?
Yes, Mitt Romney.
I thought... That was Fernstrom? I thought that was Romney's spokesperson, Mr. Potato Head.
No, no, no. Yeah, to punish him, they took away his lips. So he couldn't do that anymore.
He could have made a reference to a worse toy. You know, it could have just been, well, it's like, you know, he's like a Teddy Ruxpin. You just put a tape in him and he'll say whatever you want. And we're going to change the tape a couple of times.
It's a very powerful political metaphor, but it'll probably endure. Because it's, you know, it's easily changeable. It goes left, it goes right.
Just depending on how you turn
it. And it goes up. And if you try to do that compromise thing, you get that really crooked kind of angle. Yeah.
Anyway, this became a really big deal. Romney tried to dismiss this whole kerfuffle. He said that he himself was not an ardent fan of any toy, but many of my friends, he said, own hotels on Boardwalk. So. Immediately. This is true. Immediately, Santorum and Gingrich, who are his two remaining rivals for the nomination, they absolutely leapt on this. They started waving around Etch-a-Sketches at their campaign events. But eventually it backfired. Santorum got upset when somebody pointed out you could draw a naked person on one. And Gingrich said, wait, you can? Hey!
Did anyone else ever do the thing with the Etch-a-Sketch where you would just spend hours like blacking out the whole thing?
Oh, yeah.
I just remember like by the 10th time I'd finished blacking out the whole Etch-a-Sketch, I was like, I hope they invent the internet soon. What year is this? Come on.
All right, very good. Here is your last quote.
All the people who don't get to see it, their parents aren't cool.
That was 10-year-old Becca Lev of Newton, Massachusetts. She will be able to see what big movie this weekend if she has cool parents.
The Hunger Games?
The Hunger Games, yes. Very good. Writers and movie makers have been wondering what all those kids would want after they were done with Harry Potter, and it turns out they wanted those happy-go-lucky kids at Hogwarts to fight each other to the death. The Hunger Games, if you don't know, it's a dystopian novel. It's now a movie in which everybody gathers together to watch attractive young people attack each other on reality TV. Basically, the world of the movie is just like today's America, but with the cast of the Jersey Shore having bows and arrows.
I did not know that. I had no idea. I just know that it's being promoted everywhere.
It is.
And I'm waiting for the McDonald's Hunger Games Happy Meal to come out.
My 8-year-old, who's a voracious reader, has finished like everything. He started reading The Hunger Games last week. I don't think I really knew what this was.
Do you need?
I mean, he's 8 years old. Is this appropriate?
He's a boy. It'll be fine.
Yeah, okay.
Do you need to rush home and stop him?
Well, I may have to make a call. Can I step out?
It is.
And what is the object? They're killing each other. The idea is
like it's in this dystopian place where the horrible dictatorship forces people to send their children to fight each other for various reasons that I haven't read the book and I'm not clear on, but it's very exciting. But
it's good for parents to get the kids out of the house,
yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah,
it's a rather extreme way to get the kids out of the house, but I'll buy it. Carl, how did Sarah do in our quiz?
Well, Sarah, you had 3 correct answers, so you win our prize.
Well done. Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.